When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
That's every day now officially underway. It's Moneyline, Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Donnie Wrightside. It is Kevin Walsh. It is Sirius XM Channel. It's the way you want to get down. It's how your business is handled. Kevin's been off for 2.5 weeks now. Welcome back to the radio. Let's get it popping today. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. Listen, hardest working man in the business. Got to get a couple of rest days. Wait till mid April. DRS. You'll be wondering. You have to put out, what is it, an APB?
Yep. This guy's looking for work in April. Apparently on the network at this point. Stay under the radar.
we'll be just fine. But yeah, listen, we're in the mix. What's the deal though? I'm confused. Why are you sending me Tracy McGrady things? What's that about?
Yeah, just saw it pop up my screen where T-Mac like probably get busted by just about everybody, including his son, 101, because he's got no game at this point now. So I thought you would appreciate a true NBA, you know, dominating in his prime T-Mac back in the day saying, what's all this about LeBron? He's not that good. Basically what I read that.
Yeah, no, listen, I think you read it correctly. I think it proves that Tracy McGrady has no future in NBA media. We should button up anything that's giving him a platform and doesn't really understand basketball either. To think LeBron would get crushed is immediately outrageous and an embarrassing
opinion. Back everybody down and dunk on him every play. And then if you try 100%. To, like, you know, let's just say 100%. It was just normal, like, 101 rules where you can foul a little bit more. Like, LeBron would just hand check you and you can't move off the three-point line.
Again, people convince themselves that if you had an NBA tournament of one-on-one, the best player would be Kyrie Irving. Wrong.
Yeah.
The best player would be Giannis Antetokounmpo. The finals would be Giannis against Joel Embiid if he was healthy enough to participate in it. Kyrie Irving would be a round one exit unless he was playing against Damian Lillard. It is an absolutely ridiculous argument. What Tracy McGrady is trying to say is Kyrie's got a nice mid-range game. And, Kyrie's got a good handle. And Harden has a good handle and a nice step-back triple. And those are all valid, but they've been absolutely worked, dominated, and dusted in a one-on-one tournament, as would Tracy McGrady.
Yeah. And by the way, NBA closing down the rest of the regular season. We're going to get that in a second. Shout out to the people in the chat box already. Jordan's out here. Aaron's out here. If you don't know how to get here, Kevin, Sports Grid On Demand, go to YouTube. Type in Sports Grid On Demand. You'll see it live with Restream. Come into the box. You say hello. Relax. Enjoy yourself. And away you go into the rest of your afternoon, which many people do. Yesterday, Kevin, capping Major League Baseball, which is fun. Only 5 games on the slate today, but 2 games at 1 o'clock, Kevin. Both on the East Coast, Baltimore and Philadelphia. Wind blowing out double digits to center field in both of those games. We should get a little bit of a popping bat situation, particularly for me in Philadelphia. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But other topics like across the landscape last night, I don't know what you want to do if you're Atlanta Braves. Pick to win your division. You can't win a game. In a game, Kevin, you had a 5-0 lead and lost 6-5 because the Dodgers don't care what the lead is. They will always come back, and their superstars will always provide the angle to victory, which included Shohei Ohtani's walk-off bottom of the 9th inning, 2-out home run to send the Braves to an 0-for season. Still, Kevin, still.
What's incredible is they've played 2 series against 2 teams that are a combined 15-0. What is incredible is that the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants are a combined 20-1 to open up their season, 24-3 when you add the Diamondbacks into the fold there. So for Atlanta, look, it is concerning. Because you are 0-7, and you've been shut out multiple times, and now you're blowing leads, and it absolutely can shake your confidence a little bit. That's just the reality of it. And we know the AL, or the NL East, rather, is supposed to be very, very top-heavy. So, sure, okay, they'll get it back on the Miami Marlins at 4-3, but you do not need to be conceding this type of ground to the Mets or Philadelphia Phillies. They're 5 back of Philadelphia. Donnie, the only team who is further back from their the division leader is the Rockies to the Dodgers.
Yeah. It's pretty wild how the seasons open up. And there's a long way to go. But boy, we got Snell on the mound. Snell actually didn't give up an earned run yesterday because the Dodgers kicked the ball around for the first 2 innings. Like, we're down 5-0, no big deal. And then end up coming back and winning that game, which is amazing in itself. I actually lost money. Like, you figure the Dodgers would get 6 runs. Ohtani would hit a home run. I needed Mookie Betts in a parlay to get a base hit, which he went 0 for, which is a shame it was. Like, I fell asleep last night, I woke up, like, right on the 9th inning. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be perfect, Kevin. 5-5, we're going to get the extras. I need Mookie Betts to get a base hit, but I also have another parlay, which included the 1-1-1, which was Ohtani, who already crossed the finish line with at least getting a base hit or a run or an RBI. Mookie Betts and Teoscar Hernandez didn't, so I'm like, watch this. Like, in the 9th inning, if as long as the game doesn't end, Ohtani, like, makes an out, and let's just say Mookie Betts comes right after him, Kevin, and gets a base hit, which would be great. But he makes an out also. You then go to extra innings. Mookie Betts then goes to second base. Teoscar Hernandez then comes up as the next guy. Singles up the middle, run scores, he gets his base hit, he gets on, like, winning everything here. And when I saw, like, game over, like, Ohtani solo, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like I didn't need that. I'm sure a lot of people were rooting for that on an RBI prop, say, for Ohtani. But that was wild the way it finished. But yesterday, I did get the benefit of extra innings with Brandon Nimmo, who's like 0-for-5 in regulation, gets a base hit and extras to push me into the win column in one of those wagers as well. So had fun yesterday, didn't win money overall, but today I'm back at it right away with that Phillies game in the afternoon. So I'm ready to go early today.
So I had the over 7 in the Phils Rockies game. So it's funny when a game ends 5-1, you would think it's the Rockies who upset you. No, not at all. The Phillies. Hey, when you load the bases and you keep just bringing up the best guys in your lineup, you would like to think that we could put a ball in play. That was really frustrating. I had a parlay, Donnie. It was the Phils-Rockies game over 4.5, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that gets there. Yankees team totaled over 2.5. Volpe hits a 3-run shot. I go, wow. Yep. And it was under 10.5, Dodgers-Braves. 5-3, bottom 8, 2 outs. Max Muncy, please don't get a hit. Doubles 5-5, auto loser. Ohtani home run. So that was a little bit of a tough way. What was really tough, DRS, I threw together a no-sweat NBA parlay. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I was in the lab for hours upon hours. But, a couple points, rebounds, and assists. And all I needed was SGA over his 42.5. He was around minus 350 to get it on points alone entering the fourth quarter. Like, I needed 6 total. Him to score 6 points in the quarter was around minus 350 to get to 35. He lands, I get hooked on a nice little no-sweat parlay there. So a couple things didn't break my way on a Wednesday slate where I was still getting a little bit involved despite the off day.
Yeah, no, it's It's fun to get involved in that stuff and, you know, have some wagers with the difference of the sports coming in. Let me ask you this question, too, because we're headed to the break, and we'll get to the baseball games today and take a look at those. But NBA, which it's one of the few sports out here where the regular season, it truly doesn't matter. And every year you find like those statistical anomalies, like this doesn't make sense to me. The Rockets and Kevin are playing really good basketball. Looks like they're going to be the 2 seed over on the Western Conference. Not because they got in the 3-game win streak. Like, hey, you know, we're in the first 3 games of the season. They're in the 2 slot. Like, no, the entire season, they're going to be the 2 slot. Kevin, in the odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, they are 7th, not for the NBA championship, 7th in their own conference at 35-1 as the number 2 seed. And I tried to bring it up with Ben this morning. Like, imagine the NFL last year. The Detroit Lions, Kevin, right? First place, number 1 overall seed. The Eagles are the 2 seed. The Eagles 35-1 to win their own conference. It almost doesn't even comprehend. Like, they had a nice season, but once they get to the playoffs, they're going to get Hulk smashed by anybody who's ever won anything in the past playoffs as opposed to this one here. I do think it's interesting where it's like, man, they're a good team. 35-1, Kevin, to win their own conference.
You know who that is? The Minnesota Vikings. And that is how we treated the Minnesota Vikings, and rightfully so.
I mean, just brutal. NBA is brutal. And it ended 25 games early, much like at this point. Yeah. Playoffs, we just get them here. We need it. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
All right, you ready for one of my favorite topics, Kevin? I know you like this topic. And again, the people listening out there, Justin has entered in the chat box as well. We're all here. We love baseball. I got action. And by the way, if you just follow me on Twitter /X at RightsideVP, I already put plays out for today so far in the Phillies game. So if you want those right now, saying, oh, they're talking about hot topics now. My plays are already out there. Go check them out. Go have some fun. Go bet it. Send me your plays. We'll have some fun. We'll cheer it on together. Now let's get back to business here in the NFL. And the business is always in the NFL. We haven't talked all that much. And again, it's been a couple days and I've talked ad nauseum. You know, some of the rule changes coming into the NFL, changes that maybe need to be made. I don't even want to go there right now. I want to focus once again, Kevin, on the Cincinnati Bengals directly here, because I enjoy this. Katie Blackburn is their vice president, general manager, whatever. She is in the family with the Browns. I don't know if it's maybe his daughter that remarried, I think it is, and her name is just Blackburn as opposed to Brown, but it's all family. You can't get a job with the Bengals outside of a coaching staff and players. You have to be somehow related to the Brown family. Keep it in there, keep the wealth. We don't have to pay any outsiders, and that's how we get down to business. I look at this and say to myself, I like that they signed Joe Burrow because who wasn't going to sign him? And market's what it is for a quarterback. You're never going to argue. Do I like the fact they signed T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase? I do. They signed him a year earlier. We can afford plenty of players on defense. Now we can't do that. Poor Trey Hendrickson. Back-to-back seasons, Kevin, with 17.5 sacks. Right in the middle of his prime where if you said, put him on a contending team, he could be the missing piece to crash the quarterback and rough up pockets there, right? So Trey Hendrickson's like, you know what? I'm watching like the stars on my team get paid, but I'm sort of in the back. And he took the angle of, all right, if you don't want to sign me, it's all good. Trade me, get compensation, everybody wins here. And I knew the devious part of the Bengals immediately when that happened. They go, we're going to trade you. Makes some sense. Tell your agent to call around. We want a minimum of 2 first-round draft picks. Get back to us. We'll be happy to trade you anybody. And immediately their agent and him goes, now hold on a second. Like, Myles Garrett wouldn't get two ones. I love my client, but let's be serious about this. How about I shop around the NFL to every single team, not in this, called the Bengals, and say, what would you give me? I will bring you back the best presentation from all of these teams. It might be a one. It might be a late one. It might be two twos, one in the middle of the second round, one up top. But I'm going to bring you the best deal. And they go shop around Kevin for a week and a half. Go, you know what? There's four to five teams out here that are real active for Trey. They want him. They'll sign him to a pretty good contract that he's going to be happy with, and so am I, and around the NFL that will set him up for life. These five teams, here's the compensation. The Bengals go, and non-starter, not two first-rounders. Yeah, we said we trade you. Like, deal with it, but we want two ones. So now Henderson's like, well, I don't know what to do. The GM or vice president now comes out and says, well, we think he should just be happy like he's getting paid at this point right now, is basically what the quote came back as, which I think is so funny. So the reason I bring this up, Kevin, is not necessarily Trey Hendrickson. The options for Joe Burrow, because I know you went down this path a little bit. Let's just say if you said for the Bengals, we're cheap, we're going to reload, we got our quarterback, we think that's good enough to win. I'm going to take two ones for Ja'Marr Chase, I'm going to take another one for T. Higgins, and I'm going to take another one for Trey Hendrickson. I have Joe Burrow. I think we can win with any wide receivers, maybe not as explosive, but I'm going to rebuild this team while Joe Burrow is in his prime with five first-round picks, including my own, over the next two seasons, and get after it. Are the Bengals version right now better, or would they be better that version of it, Kevin?
No, I don't trust what Cincinnati is doing, and it is why, to me, Donnie, I would go very extreme, and I would consider blowing the whole thing up. If they want to operate like this, who's the most recent big-name free agent, Major League Baseball? Ohtani, okay? When Ohtani was a free agent, the Rays didn't put their name in the hat because that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We all know, even if Donnie Ohtani is like, I actually love Tampa. Like, it's my favorite U.S. city. The Rays are not going to make that a thing. It is not how Tampa operates. I know we have a salary cap and money needs to be allocated within the National Football League, but, and I've learned this from you, right? Like, you understand the history of it so much better, and we've been talking about this organization in this way for years. I don't actually think the Cincinnati Bengals are meant to have one of the three best quarterbacks in football. I don't think they are meant to have the best player, not a quarterback in football, in Ja'Marr Chase, because it is destroying them elsewhere. They are this team that is supposed to be a perennial contender. It's why the T. Higgins stuff bothers me so much. Mm-hmm. I know it bothers you because it lacks logic in so many areas. What bothers me is the notion that T. Higgins is staying in Cincinnati because it gives him the best chance to win, right? We all know it's not the best chance for statistics because he's the number two receiver behind Ja'Marr Chase, right? Cincinnati has missed the playoffs two straight years. I understand they made a Super Bowl and a conference championship in a two-year window, but the 2 years since, they've missed the postseason. Narrow, Burrow injuries, I get that. Mm-hmm. But this is not a pillar of success. We can take our shots at the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen or Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. Donnie, year in, year out, you pencil them in, they're in the playoffs, they're winning a game. I mean, every single year, that's how that goes for those football teams. It does.
Now, how do we
so
think
I look at Cincinnati and just blow the whole thing up? Like the Trey Hendrickson stuff, Donnie, when they finally came out, they're like, we're going to get rid of him. It's like, okay, at least some sense. And then but Burrow keeps now pushing them. And I still don't understand why Burrow didn't do this last offseason. I blame Burrow as much as anybody. I know that's crazy, but I do.
Had to
it's
get
like,
his
oh,
first.
Some sense. It's just, it's bad. It's so badly wrong. Like, be the Tampa Bay Rays, Cincinnati. Trade Burrow. Like, at this point, they're not winning with him.
Three, before you sign him too, right? Three ones, boom, get him out there. We'll rebuild. We'll get another Andy Dalton. We made the playoffs multiple times. Marvin Lewis will be ultra cheap. I just think it's interesting where, from a betting perspective, I love it. There's nothing I like more in the NFL than an unbelievable quarterback, dominant wide receivers, and nothing to stop the defense, which means you have no choice but to light it up the entire game. So when we all saw like this was happening and the defense stinks, we're like, dude, just bet Joe Burrow to win MVP. They could win three games next year. He might throw for 6,000 yards and 57 touchdowns because they can't stop anybody. He understands he's got to sling it all the way through. But there is something about spending money, but also having enough left over for a competent defense. And it would have been so interesting. You're right. to be the Rays. Like, well, we signed our quarterback to a lot of money. It's like signing a superstar pitcher. But let's just rebuild across the board. First round pick after first round pick. We'll hit some of those. We'll add some filler pieces in and we'll get after it. Because if you think Joe Burrow, which I do, is as good a quarterback as he is, you get from two number twos instead of two number ones, that's still 28 plus points a game. Honestly, believe
100%.
It's a bubble. How about that?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, break, I don't... We like to treat breaking news differently. And I sometimes you see, like, when you see, like, the Schefter breaking news picture, it's like, oh, this is really big. So today, John Rothstein comes on the early line, so I don't have to do that segment. Ben handles that. It's right around like 10 o'clock. So I came back to my seat. Mm-hmm. And I saw like my, you know, ex-pro light up. Like, wow, look at this. Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. And then when I looked at the picture, it was Joe Milton. And it's like Joe Milton goes from the Patriots to the Cowboys. Breaking news. Like, what are we doing here? Like, why? That needed that from everybody.
I mean, I like Joe Milton. But it, yes, he's going from a backup to a backup. Maybe it's because Dallas is so crazy. Like, Dak will miss 2 weeks, Milton will play great, and then we'll be like, you think Jerry's going to stick with Milton? Remember when that happened with Cooper Rush? Rush won like two games, and people were like, Jerry, you think you're going to stick with him?
Yeah, like, you could save a lot of money, just get rid of Dak. It's like, all right, hold your horses, then you see what Cooper Rush is, you know, really about. Particularly, like, was it last year? When was this, like, what happened to a guy that was supposed to be one of the best backups? Looks like he doesn't care about football. Was it last year we were watching a game live on the set where he was absolutely brutal?
He had some. He had one game where it was fireworks, and one game where he was terrible, I think.
Yeah. Like, boy, crashing right back down to the system. But I like the fact that New England was like, Joe Milton won one game. And we really don't even know if, you know, the current guy we have is going to be even good. But we can't have a quarterback controversy on our hands here. So it was me continuing to dig in on New England's quarterback situation, and if they really have their starting quarterback here in Drake May. How about that?
Well, I feel like then they wouldn't have traded.
That would have ruined them. They know it.
Keeping Milton?
No one's ready to take that job. We can't have this. Be embarrassing for everybody in the organization. We know that Milton's going to, you know, squash him like little brother in camp, and we don't have any answers.
They're probably going to draft a quarterback. They're right? Like,
go Shador 4. What are you thinking?
Now I like where your head's at.
Now
I like,
where
your head's at there.
Yep.
I'll tell you this, man. Look, the caveat is Schefter is obviously the number one reporter in the football landscape.
Yes.
Every clip I see off of his podcast talking draft is the biggest waste. I can't understand it. Like, the guy who's supposed to know everything is like, man.
They're bringing one.
I'll tell you right now. Yeah. A lot of signs are indicating Giants won't go quarterback as of now, at 3. I mean, Shefty, that's what everybody said the second that they brought Russ in. That was 2 weeks ago, man. Like, also, what's going on here? Like, you told us 2 months ago you would bet your firstborn the Browns take quarterback, and then you circled back a block a couple weeks later, like, psh, a lot of signs sound us Cleveland not looking quarterback. It's Shefty, like, what's going on here, man? What's going on here? Button it up.
The draft. Like, if Woj was the football guy, we'd have the top five picks already laid out for us. My guys, here, look, people don't want me to do ESPN Plus, pay the $4.99. I got all five picks. You don't want to watch a draft, at least to pay for it. ESPN gets a little bit of a vibe, but I have it all down here. Like, this is where it's going at this point. I'm looking forward to the draft a little bit because I do think number 3 is an interesting pick. Cleveland right now, the way it sets up, I don't think they like Shedeur Sanders, and I don't think Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders want him going anywhere near Cleveland. Not because the organization stinks, which it does, but it's like, hey, you know what? My kid throws a really nice football. Do I want him in Cleveland in October, November, and December, where it's a mess all the time? And that organization is a mess. Mm-hmm. Let's get him out there somewhere different. So Abdul Carter makes the most sense to me. 3, though, I'm starting to think now as the tea leaves fall, and I'll leave money on the table again, same way we did with Cam Ward, minus 200 to be the number one overall pick. I don't do it. Now he's a lock to be number one. Missed out on some money there. Travis Hunter going number 3 overall, I think that makes a lot of sense to the New York Giants. Not because I think the Giants should do that, but the Giants are stupid enough to get Russell Wilson and you know, have another backup quarterback in Jameis Winston, where they can't now go Shedeur Sanders at three. It makes zero sense for them to do. You might as well just take the best player available at that spot, which to me would be go wide receiver and going with Travis Hunter.
So here, bringing in Russ and Jameis should not stop them from drafting a quarterback if they like the quarterback. I don't care that those guys are on the roster. I'll cut them tomorrow. They're making no money. They're there for 1 year. It's totally irrelevant. The idea, I think, more so would be, oh, well, they brought those guys in. They must not like Shedeur Sanders at three overall.
I would love that.
And
well, like, were you like, if we actually had an organization that goes, we didn't think Shedeur would make it to three. We had to safeguard our season. It's going to cost us $8 million guaranteed to get rid of these two quarterbacks, but we'll do it. I would have a new lifeblood alliance if they did that. But I just, I think they're so stupid where their owner is so brainwashed to go, like, if you guys can win five games, man, you got your job for life. And that's what the general manager and the quarterback are doing right now. Like, what about the rookie quarterback? Just give me a guy, win me five games. We went over our win total. We should be back. And Mara's like, yeah, it should be. So will we own money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball. Baseball, 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 people. We got two games in the afternoon. Actually, you know what? We only have five game card in totality today. 105-105. 410, 705, and 740. And I think a lot of these games have a lot, like, just looking at the games themselves, the Phillies just crossed over to the 10 number. Like, nines this morning, Kevin, 9.5, now at 10s. It makes some sense. 17-plus mile an hour blowing out the dead center field, bad pitchers all over the place. Do I think that Colorado can hit today? Yes, I do. Their lineup stinks. So my focus today is on the Philadelphia Phillies. And as I told people, like, hey, you're not talking about baseball right off the bat. You can always go, and I always like to say that too, because people do listen to the show. I get like 5 to 6 followers every time I say at Right Side VP. So we'll see if it happens again right now. If they're tuning in, like, I have my plays out there. So I get a kick out of that when it happens. It happened again today. But I do have action setting up for today, which I did tweet out. I'm going to bring up my exact tweet. The market, I think, is so much fun to cheer on. Pays back at a decent number. Usually, Kevin, it's 2, 3, or 4 people in a lineup for the 1+1+1 market. And again, I'll explain it until my face is blue this entire summer, because you never know when people are tuning in or new people tuning in. FanDuel actually has this now. They come up a little bit later than Bet365. It's basically today. Here's the bet I have. It was a +120, but there's an odds boost. I boosted it up 30%. So let's just call it a +145, +150 in that range. Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, Max Kepler, and Bryson Stott, all left-handed bats going up to against Senzatella, who's been bad his whole career, bad last year, bad in his first start, with a 70s in Philadelphia, dead wind blowing out the dead center field the entire game today. Perfect conditions. So Bryce Harper to get any combination, Kevin. One hit, one run, or one RBI. No, what do you mean? He's got to get a run, RBI, and a hit. No. You missed the point. One, just one of those. He gets a base hit, you win. He scores a run, you win. He gets an RBI, you win. He gets 6 RBIs, yes, you still win. Same thing with Kyle Schwarber, Max Kepler, and Stott. I'm going with lefties here. So it pays back. $50 wager is going to pay back $128. The boost was like an extra $18-19 in there. But I love these bets because, Kevin, you are never out of it. Like, even watching yesterday, which I lost I did this with the Dodgers, which I took an L, but the Mets game. Like, I had Pete Alonso, and you'll like this too, because I said, you know, let me just play around. I'm going to go two RBI in that. $10 on the three guys. It was Nimmo, it was Soto, and it was Big Pete. Like, Pete gets an RBI double in the first inning right off the bat. So I got like 2 of the 3 down immediately, Kevin, like right off the bat. I'm like, this is the easiest one. And again, Nimmo has to get the extra innings to get a base hit, which he did and cash that. But I also had to wait till the 9th inning where Pete Alonso hit a missile for a 3-run home run. Then when I get mad, it's like, why don't I take home run? Why don't I go 4 RBI, like, for all these guys and hit like, you know, 15, 20, 30, or 40 to 1. But I still did that as well. But that's the market I'm most focused on, which it looks like now. Like, today, I did a little bit differently. I did the 2 RBI yesterday. Overall, lost a little bit of money. But just in that Mets game, it was a winner because everybody was 4 and 5 to 1 to get 2 RBI. Just needed one of those, cash that ticket. So today with the Phillies, I dumbed it down a little bit. I just went Harper, Schwarber, and Kepler each to get an RBI, all plus money, which I think they all can do that. But the primary, like my backbone right now is the one market. But I do want to start to go like, because you can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and maybe 6. 1, 3, 6, 5, which again, it's hard to do, but Pete Alonso did it last night. Imagine connecting those. But this market is so much fun that every at bat matters. Oh, no, he walked, Kevin. Oh, he got on with an error. He scored on a pass ball. Like everything counts for you in this, which I think is a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, listen, it's been one of those markets that it does feel somewhat evolutionary, might sound strong, but it's such, if you're willing to be a parlay player, it feels like you're asking so little of your guys in order to make it happen. I will say, just because I know that this is occasionally tricky, it exists on FanDuel. It's in the new markets tab. It comes out very late in the game, though. Yeah. So I can obviously...
When I go to each game, I just go to batters, and it eventually pops up. I think it's 1, 2, 3, and 4 on FanDuel. They don't go any higher than 4.
But I will tell you this, FanDuel is giving you terrible numbers. I have yet to see one player have better odds for 2-plus hit-run RBI on FanDuel compared to DraftKings. I'm not, Donnie knows I'm not over on 365. That's a personal problem that I have to rectify.
You, by the way.
You've sold me that is the case. I just have to fix it. What was I going to say? With Major League Baseball.
Yes.
So I actually really enjoy betting baseball, but I am in the moment getting frustrated. And it is because, again, spending so much time with you, this sport is impossible to bet. It feels in the first month.
Impossible.
Unless you, if you are used to betting it in mid-May, June, July, and August, because all of the things that you can then put in your back pocket are perfect. Yes. I think I probably need to just bet on really more so money lines, run lines, maybe a team total. The rest of it is, it does feel like more of a guessing game. And I'm getting annoyed at some of the, I'm watching myself turn into the old man who thinks, you know, a sport has gone soft. Tyler Glass now, over 15 and a half outs. I knew that no Dodger pitcher had thrown more than 5 innings yet, but I think Glass now is incredible. He had mowed Atlanta down. I believe they were scoreless when he left the game. Under 80 pitches. It's early season. We've got 14 great arms. He comes out. Okay. All right. So we lose that bet. Plus money. It's fine. I bet Alcantara the other day for 6Ks, right? Little lawfare fun. Just, I think he could have a nice game. Goes 5 innings, 70 pitches. And people go, oh, you know, they're trying to ease him into it. He threw 91 in the first game. Well, they want to trade him. Stop telling me that. Okay. Trust me, as an NBA fan, NFL fan, Donnie, we know trades are around the corner, except that corner's way longer than you realize. Sandy Alcantara will be on the Marlins in June, okay? The 5 innings, 70 pitches, you send him back out. He's your ace. It's like, what are we even doing? It's every pitcher prop has to be an under because nobody's allowed to pitch more than 5 innings unless you're Zach Wheeler.
Correct. And that's the tough part about betting in the month of April and March is exactly what you're saying. Even me, like I look at this and be like, I'm going to get to the point where it's like, all right, 176 at-bats against left-handed pitching this year. Here's what he's done. I'm like, man, that's a good sample size. These guys are hot. And then you're riding streaks at that point, trying to balance the two. Nobody knows who's hot right now. You're just looking at a couple guys like, hey, you know, home run. So it's a home run. His ISO power number is astronomically high for the next 5 games, regardless if he gets a base hit, because he hit that home run and it grades extra base hits. And also understand this, dating back a long time, I sold picks for a long time. And some people are like, this is one of the dumbest, you know, strategies you can have for making money. Like, you don't bet in the NFL the first 2 weeks when everybody wants to lose their money and dying to buy picks. Nope, because I don't really know too much about the teams until 2 weeks in, then have a great gauge and away you go. Now, granted, you can still make money in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. I've done that multiple times. Major League Baseball. Donnie, you're awesome at baseball. You're telling me you don't bet a single game over the first 30 games in April? No. My package used to start May the 1st because I needed an entire month to gauge. Here's the bullpen. Here's the starting pitchers. Here's who stinks. Here's who's good. Now the weather is good and away we go. Where you're trying to be like, you know what? Like I had the under in the Yankees game. Not because I didn't like yesterday. The pitchers on the mound or the batters or how that. It's cold weather. 42 degrees, wind's blowing in. If they go over the numbers, so they do it. And it looked like they probably were going to do that, and they didn't. But for me, it's you're basing pitchers from last year how you think they're going to be this year, and the same thing with hitters alike. And it's really paint by numbers. You can do well, you can do poorly, but once you get that sweet spot about 45 days in, it's the easiest handicap in sports. Not to say you're winning it, but just to say, my eyes didn't deceive me. This pitcher's really good. He got blown up last night. It happens. Like, okay, you move on. But when you're betting in the beginning, it's like, wait a second. Like, you might have looked at last night, like, well, Snell's on the mound. He gave up 5 runs already. All errors all over the place because the team's not even used to fielding baseballs yet. They're so new to the season. Where you say, that doesn't make sense. That game should have stayed under. How did the Braves get 5? And by the way, the Braves, you can't even take that game last night and say, hey, you know what? Offense came alive. You can put all your runs on errors. Like, what? You don't even get a moral victory. Hey, we lost 7-6, 4 bombs, 3 extra base hits. On top of that, we just didn't win the game. Like, no, you probably should have got shut out again last night against the Dodgers. This is what it is. Keep rolling along. Take a look at that. Maybe lost to Baltimore? Your action in that game? Let's see. Coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. By the way, 2 games into the Major League Baseball, people, get your eyes peeled. Like, again, Philadelphia. 73 degrees at first pitch, Kevin. 77 by the end of the day. 17, 18 mile an hour winds blowing dead out to center field and right center field. That's something you want to buy into. If you're a home run prop guy, now again, some of these numbers are already on the move. The numbers I sent out this morning, it's very rare I do this. You guys know this. I usually like to wait till the starting lineups come out because let's just say Bryson Stott wasn't in the lineup today. Then that 4 parlay turns into a 3. And there's a reason I didn't bet the 3 because I didn't like the numbers at like minus 135. I wanted the plus money to get the boost in there. Would ruin the whole equation. But I had to jump in because I knew Taijuan Walker, Senzatella, wind blowing out in Philadelphia, nice weather against the Rockies. There's a chance that we get 10 plus runs and buoyed by the Philadelphia Phillies offense. That's why I got it out there. And case in point, the 9s turn into 9.5s and 10s now on the total as we wait. Boston, which is Houck on the mound, who had a very good season last year against the veteran Charlie Morton. That game also, Kevin, opened up at 9.5 and is 9.5 across the board. Why? 77 degrees at first pitch, 80 by the time the game ends, 15 mile an hour sustained winds to dead center field at Camden Yards. So that one makes sense. If we're looking at, let's just say, let me see the lineups in this game, because I know both are going to be official, obviously, with that's coming up in what, an hour and 15, 20 minutes here. Let me just set some numbers. We'll go current season. All right. Tanner Houck, again, really good. Kevin, 741 batters he faced last year. ISO power number, which again, people just listening in, 170 or so is right around average. So if you're a pitcher, you want that below. If you're a hitter, you want it higher. Last year for him, Kevin, 089. Ridiculous. Like filthy. Weighted on base percentage, 320, the benchmark. Lower for a pitcher, higher for a hitter. 278 last year. Dominant on both sides, lefty and righties. It's 24 batters he's faced this year. Lit up like a Christmas tree by lefties. I mean, he can't get a lefty out. So then you just said your Mullins. See what I mean? Like, it's so hard to say. Now is the time to pounce. You go, hold on, man. The guy had like 800 batters last year and he just crushed it. Eventually he'll get it together. But again, why can't this make a big deal? Like, pop fly ball at 80 degrees with the dead wind blowing out close to 20 miles an hour. That ball's not the warning track. That's in the third row. So I sort of didn't settle on this game. I settled on the Phillies game because it's a little bit easier to ease into it. Same thing with Morton. Not a great season to start out, but only 18 batters he's faced. Last year, Kevin, as a vet, 701 batters, ISO power number against, 179, average. Weighted on base percentage, slightly higher, 329. It's hard to put a gauge there. The one thing I do know is Senzatella is bad. The Phillies like to pop off at any time. And again, as you're pointed out, early in the season, you already saw with the Phillies games twice against Washington. Lefty guy comes in. Again, he's not even lefty. I'm just using that as a Phillies game. Yeah. Phillies might get no hit for 5 straight days. Well, eventually the guy's got to come out. And they torch bad bullpens, which is exactly what the Rockies are.
Yeah, we know that the Phillies have always been able to jump on those bullpens. My question, Donnie, right, is for people still kind of getting right into the groove with stuff. Jackson Holliday, who was obviously supposed to be a superstar, last year struggled, rookie year, okay, no problem, that happens. Man, did he struggle about 189. I didn't realize it was that bad. But he's off to a nice start this year. But he bats 7th, right? Now, I know we don't have all the numbers at the disposal yet, but will there be almost a a price point. So, like, if you're going to go off this season's numbers, he's a lefty who's been hitting righties well.
Yes.
But since he's batting seventh, as opposed to second or third, do you go, okay, you know, what kind of number am I getting on a guy like this tonight?
Correct. But see, it sounds stupid. And he said, well, this isn't the, I never handicap Kevin by the number I get unless I'm doing a parlay where it has to be plus money, like I just told you. I like the three guys. I threw in Stott because Stott's been raking right-handed pitching. And again, I love the game, the ballpark, and stuff like that. So for me, you usually get the bonus. It's like, okay, Schwarber usually leads off, which he does. But let's just say before the lineup card came out, you took Schwarber. Like, it's plus 125 to get an RBI. Then all of a sudden, he's batting fourth instead of first, and that drops to, like, plus 100. It's like, that's where the steals come from. But for me, there's not really a handicap, but I do sort of lean before. Like, you know what? I like guys in the third, fourth, fifth spot here. Like, Stott's in the seventh or eighth, so I don't like him nearly as much as a Bryce Harper, rightfully so. Bryce Harper is a much better hitter, and that's higher up. The one thing I do always tell people, don't get caught up, though, in the leadoff hitter. Like, some people look at Shohei Ohtani. You would never get an argument like, well, I don't think he's going to get an RBI. But when you start to think about, like, well, hold on, he's a leadoff guy. So unless he hits a home run in his first at-bat, you burn that at-bat. But still understanding, he's still probably going to get more at-bats than anybody in that lineup who is in, like, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth spot at that point. So I never dissuade people. Like, if you like an RBI prop, like, well, there's going to be a lot of runs here, and, oh, that value is good. I don't dissuade you from that first spot, even though technically you're burning that at-bat. But theoretically, throughout a Major League Baseball game, that's really the only time he's going to lead off. You know what I mean? So you might say, like, well, I want Schwarber in the four hole because I don't want him leading off and want guys on base. Newsflash, three outs in the first inning, he leads off in the second. Oh, no! I just burned an at-bat at that point. See what I mean? You can't ever have that mindset because at any given time, the fifth guy, the sixth guy, they can all be leadoff batters in an inning. Like, oh, I just burned that at bat. Yeah. So that's one theory that some people have a hard time. Jonathan India leads off for Kansas City. He's got a great RBI number, but who's he going to drive in? He's got to hit a home run.
Yeah.
Trust me. When that, oh no, base is loaded and here comes India. I'm like, wow, at a plus 300 price for an RBI. Don't worry about the price point and where they hit in that lineup per se.
I think there's always value on the one hitter because to me, what worries me about a guy batting 7-8-9, Donnie, actually, is just volume. If the team is struggling, you're not going to get enough at-bats.
You know, it's because volume is one thing, too. Because you figure, like, what's the worst-case scenario? It's going to get three. I'm telling you, there is nothing worse in your life when you see a team is like, this guy's got good numbers against right-handed pitching. He's batting seventh or eighth in the lineup. And he's saying, boy, this is going to work out my favor. And in the seventh inning, they pitch in for the guy. And you're like, are you absolutely kidding me? And the only time it ever happens, again, like in the NBA, like props go to die in blowouts. Same thing in baseball. Yeah. Your team's down 9-1 in the seventh. And you see the ninth, oh, he's got one more bat in the ninth inning. In comes Javier Smith off the bench for Juan Soto. It's like, oh, like that's the only thing that kills you. But I hear you on that. They do look tasty, 7, 8, and 9. But those are the guys that get pinch hit for. And it drives you up a wall that you get robbed of that.
Yeah, but it is funny, right? Like the dream guy. But it's like, oh, you want the stars, the 2, 3, the 4 hitter. But like, ah, give me the 6 hitter who's got two in scoring position. What are you talking about?
Because all those guys are on base. Just put the ball in play. And then it's like, my guy struck out with the bases loaded and one out. Like, well, that's probably what he's supposed to do. But yes, baseball betting is so much fun. It's all summer long. We just need those numbers to come in. But I do think the Phillies bring the bat today, which means 5 or 6 runs, we should do some damage. Another segment coming up right here on Moneyline. On a Thursday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball. By the way, now it's live. What is Final Four Friday on the network? Getting the Blues set. Big weekend, number one seeds, in-game live, Bracket Central. The boys will be live in studio. Fun, away we go. San Antonio, Texas can't get any better. But that Duke-Houston line is really getting on my nerves. One day, 4.5, next day, 5.5, next day, we're buying back on it. Like, what gives in that? Like, I almost think, and I remember when we first talked about it, Donnie, where is that line going to be? I'm like, it's got to be 5. And it hits 4.5, goes to 5.5. It's 4.5, goes, because I did think, like, that number is such a, like a head shot, like, I can't take 4.5. 5.5, what a steal. 4.5, no, can't do it. Can't do it. That 1 point is that big right now. If I told you right now, Houston Duke this Saturday night, 8:49 Eastern. Where does it finish? 4.5 or 5.5? I actually think 4.5.
Now that I look at the 5.5.
Really? Because I want to take Houston. I want to take Houston at 5.5. I really do.
Ooh.
But I don't want to be that guy like, you idiot. Like, you watch Duke play all year long. You're going to now back Houston and like Mala watch. And they're just like, the physicality's crazy. Three balls are flying. Houston's like head spinning. You know what I mean? Like, I get nervous about that. But for me, like, I do want to take Houston. I do.
Yeah, I do as well. I don't know. I think I'll end up just taking the Cougs plus the points. These are my two teams that I have the futures on. So it's a shame, man. I was hoping that they could meet in the final. Like, it would be one of those things where if they were on opposite sides, right, I would be like, one of them will get there, and I'd hope both would get there, which happened to me the year Michigan won the national championship, which was not fun because I had Texas and Bama. Both got eliminated in the semis, which was brutal to watch.
Yeah,
I was like, man, it's going to be a Texas-Bama all-K-Dub national title game, and I got a whole lot of nothing. So
efficiency.
I'll be in the title game at least. But, yeah, I'll end up on Houston. That total, am I right when it was me and you, Auburn-Florida, 163.5, or was it 161.5 when it opened?
I have 161 at the open. That's what I've listed as the open.
Okay. Yeah, it got bet down. We knew it was going to get bet down.
I knew it was going to get bet down. Now, I have me and Ben will do the Florida-Auburn game. I don't know if it's just my mindset, but I'd look at that line and be like, I don't know how it's not 6.5 Florida. Because I don't think Jani Broome is healthy. The guy isn't practicing, Kevin, which means there is an issue. And we all know this. Like, if you are, he's not, I don't think he's going to be a game time decision. He's going to play. Physical game, Kevin. You hit the deck again on that elbow, and he's just going like this 3 minutes into the game. Auburn has zero chance to win that game. Zero, Kevin. Unless you're getting Jani Broome's 25-12. They have no shot to win that game. I'm sorry. Like, the 2.5 to me feels like a steal.
What's odd is you look at the Jani Broome numbers, DRS. They are not in any way, he's a little banged up. So everything side and prop-wise tells us he's complete. Unless you think his props would be 21.5, 22.5 in a healthy game.
Does he have props up right now? He doesn't have anything
19.5 points, 10.5 rebounds.
Which way would you go on that, though? If you had to take one to the over or the under, which way would you go?
I would probably do the smart thing and take the points and the rebounds and go under the 29.5, right?
Yeah.
You do the combo.
I like go the, under. The way I just see Jani Broome is, it's hard to rebound with one arm, Kevin. Like, I think, like, it's not a shooting hand, right? So maybe you say, you know what, I'm going to stay with offense. I'm not digging in for rebounds when I can barely get up.
Is there a chance he doesn't play?
No, because he played last week. Like, even if
we watched that game, it made no sense.
Yes, but understand this. He is your player of the year guy. His legs aren't hurt. You know his arm's hurt. Just him being out there adds a little bit of, okay, comfortability for your team. We see he's out there. Maybe I can do some things. Maybe I'm going to add some things here. But I'm telling you right now, the odds market is not adjusting to this. And we're not watching it in real time. But if he's anywhere near like he looked in Michigan State, and understand this, like a hyperextended elbow, Kevin, just says like, hey, he's fine. Like 4 or 5 days. This isn't a sport where it's non-contact. He's not a point guard that's like, look, just give me the easiest guy to defend. I'll hang it at the three-point line. I'll make everything go. This guy is hammering down low on every play, offense and defense, and his elbow hurts? Come on.
It seems bad. You're getting no pushback from me on that. It seems very, very bad. And as somebody who's expected about Auburn in this spot for a long time, I am hesitant, certainly, as we sit here on this Thursday.
Fade on Auburn, Final Four Friday tomorrow. Sole edition for your boy Donnie Wrightside as we go into the weekend of the Final Four itself. Thanks for tuning into Moneyline. AP behind the wheels of steel, your boy Donnie Wrightside. And Kevin Wolf!
See
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.